Isn't it amazing how many individuals, nations, have determined we're going to get rid of the Jews?
I know.
And how they cannot ever do it. They always fail.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Brim begin a study on end time events and the awakening to God that will need to take place around the world.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have our special guest today, Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we are in for a good time. You've been reading the newspapers about a lot of these things. Now you're going to find out what God says about
it. Amen. That's the truth. That's exactly what we're going to talk about this week. And, you know, we're going to let a cat out of the bag right here. Tell a big secret.
Okay, do it.
We are pre-taping these programs. This is not coming live.
No, you've told them.
So I did not know exactly when I got here to do the programs when they were going to be aired. So this morning, they came back into the dressing room and told me that, reminded me that the first 2 days are the Feast of Esther and Purim, the Feast of the Jews. And I thought, oh, how apropos with all that Israel's been going through, to have these broadcast on the days when Israel celebrates and is told by the Word of God to celebrate every year their victory over their enemies.
Praise God.
So let's look at the book of Esther. And, you know, I don't have notes on this, so you pray for me out there, okay? Now, in the chapter, in the book of Esther, the kings, the Jews, excuse me, are in captivity to the Persians. Persia is present-day Iran. So they are in captivity to the Persians. And an evil man, Haman, because Satan is driving him, has decided to wipe out all the Jews. Satan's going to use him to get all the Jews killed. God has made promises in his word about what will happen to the Jews, about when they will come back. And Satan, in trying to stop God's word from coming to pass, always tries to get the Jews killed. Tried to wipe them out in the Inquisition, tried to wipe them out in the Holocaust, tried to wipe them out in the Crusades, and here he tried to wipe them out in Persia. And so Haman had this wicked plan, but God caused this little Jewish girl, her Jewish name is Hadassah, which is the myrtle tree, you know? So if your name is Myrtle, you really have the same name that Esther had. But she was given a Persian name, which was Esther. And that's how the book is known. And God had a plan through her to save the whole nation. Just a little woman.
God
just a little girl. He's
plan.
Always got a plan. And he doesn't have to have the mightiest
That's
man
right.
in the universe. He could have just
That's
a little
right.
girl. She was just a little girl.
Not an army.
No, not an army. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord
Amen.
Our God.
Amen.
And so he chose this little girl. And you know, if you haven't read the book of Esther lately, it would bless you to read it. How he caused her to be noticed by the king and really to become the queen of the nation. And when she learned of Haman's evil plan to kill all the Jews and made a big gallows to hang her uncle Mordecai on, God gave her a plan to hold a feast, to hold a banquet, to expose Haman. And Haman, evil Haman, ended up being hanged on the gallows that he had built for Mordecai, her uncle. Now, he had sent word out throughout all the provinces, and the Persian Empire was huge, that all the Jews were to be killed throughout the Persian Empire. But it backfired on him, and so Haman and his men were then killed throughout the Persian Empire. So let's turn to the book of Esther, chapter 9, and see what today, Purim, it means lots. Because Haman cast lots to see what day he was going to destroy all the Jews. And it turned out that came to be the day he was destroyed. So here it is, and we're going to be in chapter 9. Now, she's already exposed him, and the Jews are able now to kill other enemies throughout the Persian Empire. chapter 9, verse 5. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and did slaughter and destruction, and did what they would to those that hated them. And folks, it's going to come again. That those judgment of the nations, we're going to be talking about judgment of the nations this week. Judgment of the nations against those nations who came against Israel. So here is a judgment in this nation. And in Shushan the palace, right in the capital city, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And now, I'm going to read these names, though they sound strange. I'm reading them for a purpose. Parshan Dafa, not sure I pronounce them right.
Where are you?
I'm in verse 7.
Okay.
Now, they killed 500 people right there in the capital city. And Parshan Dafa and Dalfan and Esphata and Paratha and Adilia and Eridatha and Parmashta and Arisai and Aridai and Vayezata. These are the 10 sons of Haman. And their names are listed. They were killed. The 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha.
The seed.
The enemy of all the Jews slew they. But on the spoil laid they not their hand. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. He's Esther's husband. And the king said unto Esther the queen, he reports, they gave him the information how many they've killed, and he turns it over to Esther and he says, here's how many they killed. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. We just read their names. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? In other words, they've killed 500 men here. They've killed the 10 sons of Haman, and there's no telling how many they've killed throughout the wide Persian Empire. Now he says to the queen, his beautiful Esther, that he gives all. Now, what is your petition? What do you want me to do? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy further request? And it shall be done. We've killed 500 men in Shushan the palace. We've killed 10 sons of Haman. They've killed throughout, no telling how many throughout the whole province. Now what do you want? Now listen to her strange reply. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. Now she'd just been told that Haman's 10 sons have been hanged upon the gallows. But he said, what do you want now? She said, let it happen tomorrow. What happened today? And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Strange request.
Yes.
When she's already told that it's happened. Now, I'm going to ask them to put up a picture of a Bible that I have from home, and you'll be able to see it. Because when the Jews, they use printed Bibles like we do. But actually, the scribes copy from scroll to scroll to scroll, and they have to be very watchful that they copy things exactly right. The Jewish alphabet is a certain size letter. It's a square letter. All the letters are the same size, really. They occupy the same amount of a square place. Now, when these names of the 10 sons, you remember that I kind of stumbled over here? When they were written, there are certain letters in them that are wee little letters, small little letters. And for years, the Jews wondered, what does that mean, those small little letters? Then it came to light in 1945. In 1945, after World War II, when Satan again, through Hitler, had tried to destroy the Jews, and they had the famous Nuremberg trials. They had 11 Nazi war criminals on trial. And they sentenced, they had more, but the 11 of them were sentenced to hanging, death by hanging. Death by hanging. One of them cheated the death squad by taking poison, and he died. But 10 sons of Haman were taken to the gallows. And those little letters
spelled out the date it would happen. So it happened tomorrow, what happened that day. And the 10 sons of Haman were hung on that date, marked in the scriptures. One of those Nazi war criminals, I believe his name is Joseph Stryker, hollered out as he was being hung, Purim. He hollered out some other words, but he hollered out Purim. And so we see that this Bible, this book, this God that we worship is supernatural. And the supernatural events recorded in here, now today in Israel, they are celebrating what happened with 10 sons of Haman, what happened on the gallows of 1945, and what's going to happen in the future, folks. And we're going to be talking about it this week to those nations who dishonor Israel and the plan of God. And so today, they have established according to the word, and they're keeping this. Esther chapter 10, Mordecai wrote out throughout all the Persian Empire that the Jews were to establish, verse 21, to establish that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies.
Praise God.
And the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy.
Hallelujah.
And from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. It's really fun to celebrate with the Jews Purim. They dress all up. They read the whole book of Esther. They have noisemakers, and every time the wicked Haman's name is mentioned, they rattle their noisemakers, all the children do. And they dress up as Queen Esther and all the characters of this book. It's really a fun time. They rejoice, and they're rejoicing today. I don't care what kind of wars they've been going through. They're rejoicing today that in the end, they have rest from their enemies. It is prophesied in the Word of God. Verse 26, they call these days Purim after the name of Pur. Verse 27, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so that it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing and according to their moed, their appointed time every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, and these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. And so if any of our Jewish friends should be watching, we believe in agreement with this word.
We do. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And God of Israel, who never sleeps nor slumbers, is keeping you, and this day will come for eternity when you have rest from your enemies.
Isn't it amazing how many individuals, nations, have determined we're going to get rid of the Jews?
I know.
And how they cannot ever do it. They always fail.
They always fail and disappear.
God. They have the Word of God.
They have the Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God.
So we're going to be talking this week and next, because we do realize that we are in the time of the end of days, what the Bible calls the end of days. Things are happening. The Lord in our own lives has been like, it's been like we've been on a kind of a walk from, there's a dot here and a dot there, and we follow, and then He connects the dots. And folks, there's not only hope for the Jews, there's hope for America.
That's right.
There's hope for the nations. And we have been, God has been teaching us and speaking to us about what is the hope for America. You know, you said in the beginning that I've come from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And of course, you and Kenneth Copeland have been walking this walk with me all these years.
Right.
You were there the night when God gave me a vision.
I was.
Up in Tulsa. And it was the night.
Was that the night that we talked about the old timers in the car?
Could have been.
tell them that.
Well, this was one of the times we were in the car. We were often in the car together going to Brother Hagin's meetings. Mm-hmm. Ralph and Martha Kennedy were driving. Ralph was driving. I think Ken was in the front seat with him. And you, Martha, and I were in the back seat. And I was lamenting that Sister Wilkerson was gone, that Brother Halverson was gone, that others were gone. And I said, it's just so sad that the old timers have left us. And Brother Ralph turned around and said, did you ever consider that we are the old timers? It was a shocking thought. Gloria piped up and said, never in the history of the church have the old timers been so young.
Yes, that's right. We were just so high in the spirit, so
yes.
Tickled that night.
And you know, we got that way
victorious.
Often. We would go to Brother Hagin's meetings. And this particular night, they call it When the Spirit Gets to Moving. And they still have it on DVD if you want to see it. And you will see, they also call the night of the 84 broken chairs. Because the people got so carried away in the spirit and move of the spirit, they jumped on the chairs. Yes, jumped on chairs. And chairs broke. And so if you see that, if you get that DVD from Kenneth Hagin Ministries.
Night of the Broken
Chairs. Well, actually, they named it. They named it When the Spirit Gets to Moving.
Okay, that's
so that's the official name.
Okay.
But you won't see me at that meeting, though I was at that meeting.
You were on the floor.
I was on the floor. I was on the floor behind Brother Hagin where the ministers usually would sit. And I was on the floor and I was having a vision. I already had been told by God. I was in a trance. I had already been told by God that one of my main purposes on this ministerial walk is to help the prayers. I had thought I was supposed to get the land down in Coweta where my Pentecostal ancestors had a great prayer ministry. But then he showed me, no, I don't want you here now. The place now is Branson. So he showed me to go, and that was 1995.
Mama.
He showed me to go to Branson, Missouri. He showed me inside of a cabin. I saw an old iron bedstead, and we'll show you some of these pictures. I'll ask them to put them up for you. An old iron bedstead with a rag rug on the floor. And he told me to establish a place. And now we do have more than 200 acres. We do have individual prayer cabins, which they'll show you, where people come for individual prayer. But we also have corporate prayer on Sundays. Now, this prayer place set aside for prayer was to be for two purposes. Number one, to pray in the plan of God. Number two, to stop the strategies of the enemy. And so we are there, and
praise
we are
God.
Endeavoring to follow God.
Yes.
And we have corporate prayer every Sunday afternoon. In June 29th, 2009, that was the only corporate meeting that was on a regular schedule. We have other meetings that are just, but that every Sunday afternoon at 3, we're there. And we've been praying together now for quite a while. And we have learned to move as a man. And the core group of prayers are so strong. We also have people that come in and stay at the cabins. They join us from time to time. But we have learned how to move as a man. It takes some time to do that. And on June 29, we were praying. And we got lifted up into a place I don't think we'd ever been before. We were praying about the upcoming election that was going to then be in November 2008. It was June 29, 2008. We were praying about the election that was coming up in November 2008. We were praying about Israel, as we often do. We were praying about the nations. God lifted us to this place. He gave a word. It came through me. And it said, there is one thing that will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. There is one thing that will save Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. Then some things began like to flow in upon us. We saw that the best man living on earth could be elected president, and it wouldn't do any good if the people didn't wake up to God. We saw, and it came to our remembrance about the historical awakenings and how America itself was born out of a great awakening called the Great Awakening. Yep. I know more about it now than I did that day because I've studied about it. We're going to be talking about
praise
it, particularly
God.
Next week.
That will be excellent.
How we were born out of that great awakening, what awakenings have had to do with America and how they will have to do with us in the future. Bless the Lord.
You know, Billy, when we're just about out of time, but when we came in into the message of being born again and received the Holy Spirit, particularly receiving the Spirit, there was not any term word church. I mean, faith church, our word church.
No.
That just wasn't there. I mean, not that there weren't good churches and there weren't people with faith.
Yes.
But that term has been coined in our lifetime.
Yes.
In our time of walking, ministry time, really. Just, I mean, it's, maybe we are old timers.
Yes, we're old timers for sure.
But isn't
that
amazing?
But it was like we awakened to God's Word.
That's right, we did.
People were awakening to what is there.
And Brother Hagin had been preaching it for years and years and years. But
we were asleep.
It just happened. Right.
It just happened.
Yeah.
And we're going, you know, the term awakening itself is an amazing, it was coined in the Great Awakening by Jonathan Edwards. It had not been used before. He said it was as though there was a general awakening.
Isn't that a good way to describe what happened to all of us?
Yes.
Praise God.
And so now we're looking for a great awakening.
Amen.
And God's told us what to do about it. The place of prayer, we are now having every Wednesday prayer online streamed from Prayer Mountain.
Great.
Where we are focused, asking God for one thing and one thing alone, an awakening to God.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
He's all around us. We talked about it at breakfast, you know, with Ken. No, I think it was at an evening meal the other day. But how God is the center of everything, the center of every molecule in this in this pear, in this lemon. He is the center of everything, and He's omnipresent, but men are asleep to that. How that the planets, they used to think they were separated by empty space, but now they know that there's a power between them, and that power is God.
Amen.
He is omnipresent, and there's going to be an awakening. I'm going to talk about what it means.
You've already got us excited,
Billy. Hallelujah. Bless the
you
Lord.
You don't want to miss this week. Billy and I'll be right back.
The times of the end are here. Judgments are hitting nations around the world. Choices are being made for truth and righteousness. Many in the church are sleeping, but God is calling us to wake up. He's looking for a people that will hear His voice, obey Him, and change the course of America and nations around the world. Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim have selected these special resources that will get you focused, prepare you for what's ahead, and change your life. The Spiritual Awakening Package includes three unique and powerful books. 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity charts the impact of Pentecostal movements as a foundation for the future. Revival Fire chronicles the spiritual outpourings of years past. The Wake-Up Call tells the end-time vision of Oral Roberts, including his discussion with Kenneth Copeland and Richard Roberts. Now is the time to wake up and prepare for God's last great awakening in the earth. Order the Spiritual Awakening Package today for only $25. This package includes three dynamic books that bring insight into God's Word and are designed to assist you in your spiritual growth. Order extra copies to share with family and friends. Purchase your package online through our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your package today.
We've got an exciting offer. The Spiritual Awakening Package. Yes. 2,000 years of charismatic Christianity. And we believe we're at the
Hallelujah.
End of
Bless
that time.
We
Hallelujah.
Are.
So, Billy, tell us about these two books. You recommend these to us.
Oh, my goodness, yes, I do recommend these two books. You know, we are talking about this week and next about the Great Awakening that we're going to experience, absolutely going to experience. And we also are studying the Great Awakening that happened in the past and how America was born out of a Great Awakening.
Yeah.
And then how Great Awakenings throughout the history has our country has benefited from it. Now, this book I've recommended for a long time by Wesley Duell. It's Revival Fire. And it tells you about the Great Awakening and other great moves of God and revivals. But this one I'm so excited about. I thought this book was out of print and that we weren't going to be able to offer it. And I understand that the author himself drove down with these books.
And you know him.
Yes, and Charisma, I see, has taken up the printing of this book.
Good.
So it's good. It's available now. And I have done radio programs and things where I referred to this book, and people would call and I say, I don't know how to get the book, but glory to God, it's available, and you can get it. 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity explains how speaking with tongues, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, has always been throughout history from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, this book is going to give you information about the Great Awakening. 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity by Eddie L. Hyatt.
Praise
Dr.
God.
Hyatt.
Billy, you got a few minutes to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. No, just about a half a minute, but go
half
for it.
Half a minute. Father, we know that
yes.
means the wholeness
yes,
of Yerushalayim.
We
pray, Father, in Jesus' name, concerning all that you have in
yes,
your plan
Lord.
For Jerusalem and its wholeness
Praise
and
God.
Its victory over the enemy
yes.
who's always
Thank
been after
it,
Satan himself. We know that the word
we
of God,
it.
Father, is truth. For the Jews, the nations, and the church, and we thank you for every biblical promise
yes.
and its fulfillment in this
we
hour.
Receive it.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Look, you had 15 seconds left. Great. God is good.
Hallelujah.
We're believing. We're believing for victory in every area. We're coming to Australia. We'll be in Sydney May the 21st through the 23rd. We'll be in Brisbane May the 28th through the 30th. We're looking forward to seeing our partners in Australia. We invite all of you to come. In Jesus' name, we're going to have a time. You're going to be
yeah.
there? Billy's coming. Praise God. So you don't want to miss that, because when Billy's around, anything can happen. This is Billy Brim and Gloria Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. Visit our website today at kcm.org and you'll find a resource of word-based teaching materials and study tools. KCM.org is available whenever you need it, day or night. You can watch today's broadcast in our media section or read faith-building articles to help you find biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see this presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out, because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glenelg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.